Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the weekend review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Bathnu Tormi, Equity Strategist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Matt, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Hey, good morning, Siobhan, and thanks for having me back.
Of course, so let's get started. Equity investors have faced a fair amount of turbulence in recent weeks. What do you believe investors are focused on the most, and what factors seem to be influencing equity market activity?
Yeah, so it's been a quite turbulent last few weeks for equity investors as the S&P 500 rallied about 9% from its August low through the end of the month before falling more than 4% in the first couple days of September to now being up about 3.5% since then. So in our view, there have been two main drivers of the moves. First, the market has shifted its focus from inflation data to employment data as we approach the first Fed rate cut. And this shift really began with the July jobs report that we received at the start of August, which led to the initial sell-off as the data came in much cooler than expectations. However, since then, the employment data has improved a bit as initial jobless claims data that we get weekly hasn't seen a material pickup in any way. And the August jobs report we got last Friday actually showed a downtick in the unemployment rate. So that was encouraging. Also, Fed Chair Powell's remarks at Jackson Hole showed investors that inflation is on a sustainable path back to 2% and rate cuts are inevitable, which we think is necessary as rates are currently at levels that are restricting economic growth. And second, volatility within tech has been a second driver of the turbulence because if we look at the concentration in the market today, the tech sector is now more than 30% of the overall weight of the S&P 500, and the top 10 stocks alone are about 35%. So any developments related to these 10 companies and AI-related developments are certainly having an outsized impact for most of them, then this will have a big influence on the market direction as well. But overall, as it relates to our outlook on U.S. equities, our views haven't changed all that materially. We still see a constructive environment driven by healthy earnings growth, improving inflation, Fed rate cuts, and AI investment.
So per the latest UBS House view, CIO currently maintains a neutral view on equities. How should investors think about positioning within the asset class?
Right. So this is good timing to discuss this question, Siobhan, because since the last time I came on about a month ago, we did make quite a few changes to our sector positioning. So on the most preferred side, we now have financials, information technology, and utilities. And on the least preferred side, we have materials and real estate. So diving into the rationale on each of these, starting with financials, it is our base case that the Fed will cut rates at the FOMC meeting next week. And what this should do is lower funding costs, which should ultimately benefit the sector. Additionally, we believe cooling regulatory pressures should lead to an increase in share repurchases. And finally, continued gains in capital markets activity from depressed levels. So think M&A and debt and equity issuance, a peak in net charge-offs, and a potential pickup in loan growth due to lower short-term rates should all be supportive as well for the sector. On tech, AI infrastructure spending does remain robust, and key semiconductor components needed for AI will likely remain supply-constrained into next year. And even though it's still early in the rollout of AI applications, so far the uptake has been encouraging. In addition, the sector should benefit from a recovery in PC and smartphone end markets. And we believe that investors will likely continue to gravitate towards high-quality companies that have good secular growth within the sector. On utilities, this is a classic defensive sector that we do think offers ballast in a portfolio in the event economic growth concerns arise, despite this not necessarily being our base case. And on the AI side, we continue to expect significant growth in AI data centers, which will likely drive strong growth in power demand and rising power prices. And with roughly 20 to 25% of the sector having material exposure to these AI trends, we think it will help drive the sector's performance going forward. So now covering the least preferreds that we have. So first with materials. Yeah, this was a sector that we just recently downgraded as we think underlying trends within the sector remain poor and a pickup in Chinese economic activity, which is a key consumer of commodities. So that's why it's important for the sector here. This pickup appears unlikely in the near term. And on real estate, some key segments within the sector, such as industrial and multifamily, are contending with lower cash flow growth due to a significant increase in new capacity in recent years. And it may take some time to achieve a better balance between supply and demand in these markets. And on valuations, they don't look as attractive, as they already seem to be discounting a substantial decline in interest rates, and growth in adjusted funds from operations will likely lag S&P 500 profit growth.
So I want to spend some time on the macro calendar. Inflation reading for the month of August was released this week. What did the data reveal?
Yeah, so the week we did receive both the August CPI and PPI inflation prints, which are the final readings that we'll get before the FOMC meeting next week. So going through some of the key takeaways from both. On Wednesday's CPI print, for the most part, the data came in largely in line with economists' expectations, but the slight upward surprise came from core CPI, which does exclude the food and energy categories. On a month-over-month basis, core CPI rose by 0.3%, with shelter inflation being the source of the upward surprise. However, on a more positive note, we do still expect shelter inflation to slow over time, and excluding shelter from the August print, the data continue to show broad-based disinflation. Now, turning to Thursday's PPI print, although the index increased somewhat above expectations, the data did continue to show subdued inflation, so consistent with the takeaways from the CPI print. So in our view, the inflation data has been good enough to allow the Fed to start cutting rates next week, and following the CPI print, the market largely priced out the chances for a 50 basis point cut and now expect a 25 basis point cut to be the most likely outcome. And in our base case, we expect 100 basis points of cuts by year end and another 100 basis points of cuts in 2025.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, Matt, and I want to turn to the week ahead. What should investors be mindful of?
The economic calendar is shaping up to be pretty busy, so let's dive right into it. On Monday, we'll receive the September Empire State Manufacturing Index reading, which is currently expected to remain in negative territory, but this is a quite volatile index, so we'll have to wait and see what the reading ends up being. On Tuesday, two readings that could potentially influence the Fed's decision next Wednesday include data for retail sales and industrial production in August. So on retail sales, we did receive a stronger than expected reading last month, with consensus expecting another positive month-over-month reading. And for industrial production, last month's reading was quite weak, but expectations are for the data to improve. So while these two macroeconomic data points will be important, unless both come in much weaker than expected, then it's likely the Fed will cut by 25 basis points next week. And later in the morning next Tuesday, we will receive the September reading for the NAHB Housing Market Index, which is expected to see a slight uptick from a pretty weak level overall. On Wednesday, the September FOMC meeting is going to take place in the afternoon, where we do expect the Fed to kick off the rate cutting cycle. And also during this meeting, we will receive an updated summary of economic projections. In the morning on Wednesday, we'll receive some important data points around housing, so the August housing starts and building permits data. And then next Thursday, more on housing, we're going to get August existing home sales data, similar to earlier in the week. More insights on manufacturing with the release of the Philadelphia Fed Manufacturing Index. The Leading Indicators Index for August will also come out in the morning, which always provides us with some interesting insights on where economic activity may be heading. And finally, the weekly initial and continuing jobless claims numbers will continue to provide us with one of the best real-time reads on the state of the labor market. So that's it as far as the economic calendar is concerned. And even though we're still about a month away from the start of the third quarter earnings season, we will hear from some off-cycle reporters next week that will be worth to keep an eye on, including General Mills, Darden Restaurants, FedEx, and Lennar.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt. We covered a lot today.
Thanks, Siobhan, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.